Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Conrad Thompson here to tell you a little bit about AdFreeShows.com. People often ask me, what exactly is AdFree Shows all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Not only do you get early ad-free access to all of my podcasts starting at just $9, but you also get many of your other favorite wrestling podcasts like Click This with Kevin Nash, Gentleman Villain with William Regal, Oh You Didn't Know with Brian James, and others, but yes, still just $9 a month. That's 14 podcasts in total every single week, early with no ads. That's like 20 cents an episode. And yes, you can listen to them all directly through Apple Podcasts or through your regular podcast apps. How easy is that? Want some more cheese on that Whopper? AdFreeShows.com has literally tens of thousands of hours worth of bonus content, including fantastically popular series like Eric Fires Back, Title Chase, and Strictly Business. And I don't know why this is a thing, but there's even more than 40 Ask Conrad episodes waiting for you at AdFreeShows.com. We've got monthly Zoom chats with all the podcast hosts, live watch-alongs with wrestling legends, and more. Come on now. See for yourself what thousands of other wrestling fans have already discovered. That's AdFreeShows.com. It's the best value in wrestling today. Check it out right now. AdFreeShows.com. You'll be glad you did. Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man, and of course we couldn't do it without the Hall of Famer himself, the GOAT, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Conrad, I'm good, man. Big day for the Nature Boy.
I'm excited, man. The rumor in innuendo is just you're headed to go do another commercial, and of course the big news is out. Ric Flair drip has gone mainstream today. How about that, man?
Very excited.
Gonna change my life. I'm gonna have me a Conor Flairston.
Well, we're gonna talk about a time.
Ric Flair Estates.
There's probably been several of those. Now I think the wives have them, but hey, yeah, we're gonna keep the slats one.
Yeah, time. Just always go back in time, don't you?
Well, listen, that's what we do here on the show. We talk about the good times, and boy, what a story this was. We're going to be talking about the time you jumped to the World Wrestling Federation. And there'd been rumor and innuendo, Rick, that you had actually been flirted with this idea before. I think Bruce even thought once upon a time at the original SummerSlam, you were supposed to be the special guest on the Brother Love Show. As his story goes, you had second thoughts. They wound up just doing Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It wasn't nearly as special, but boy, a lot of us thought, man, what if? How close did you come to actually making the jump in 88?
Close enough that I lost a lot of sleep over the decision, but at the end of the day, I just couldn't leave the guys. It had nothing to do with going up there. I knew equally as many people up there. And, I've been lucky, as you know, to have so many friends over the years, in either company, and to this day still do. So, I mean, not obviously one company now or two with AEW, but, I just, at the end of the day, I couldn't leave the guys. So, it was an ego thing driven between me and Dusty. It happened about once every 3 months. then we, you know, work our way through it. But that's what the business is about. Ego, timing, and it had nothing to do with the way anybody was treating me at that time. This is long before Jim Hurd,
right,
Eric Bischoff came along. So this is just an ego-driven decision.
So we know eventually we're going to talk about the whole Jim Hurd debacle on the program here, but at least for now, let's keep the talk to the WWF, because
yes,
once you make the decision, hey, I'm done with Jim Hurd, I'm out of here, do you call Vince? Had Vince been contacting you? Do you talk to Pat? How does that first dialogue happen?
I called Vince directly.
And so you called him at home and said, hey, what do you say?
I said, I know you're probably going to think I'm crying wolf again, but I'm ready to go. And I explained,
wow,
exactly, I explained everything from the Daytona Beach conversation to offering to go to Columbus, Georgia and drop the belt to Barry, and her, you know, give me the dialogue, which needn't be repeated again. Same shit. Go fuck yourself. You know, I'll send someone to get the belt. And,
right,
with Doug Dillinger. Doug, funny we didn't ask Doug that story last week. He'd be a great guest on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I said, Doug, actually, they owe me money on it, which was the truth, which I eventually got paid. I gladly would have given it to him, but I know I'll remember seeing the money. That
right,
was a decided factor. Because back in the old days, the champion had to put up $25,000, and I'd had it. Ultimately, I got a check for, I think you and I have discussed it, either 36 or 46 or something like that from
right,
Watts before I went back, before I gave it back to him. So, you know, then I made a mistake of selling the other belt through hard times when I was having difficult times financially to Hunter along with the gold roll, which I can't get back to this day. It doesn't look like I'm going to get it back.
So let's talk about the belt, because that really became a big piece of the story. And if you go back, I mean, even at that point, nearly a decade, the after magazines, as we like to call them, you go down to the grocery store, the newsstand, there's all these pro wrestling covers. And most of them at some point during the year, maybe multiple times a year, would have, what if so-and-so faced so-and-so, almost fantasy booking. And the dream match for a lot of wrestling fans was the face of the WWF and Hulk Hogan versus the face of the NWA and Ric Flair. And of course, Hogan was the champ at the time. Did it just immediately, was that the immediate direction you thought that Vince was going to go, as champion versus champion, with you coming in with the belt?
You know, believe it or not, I that never even came into the conversation.
Wow.
I just wanted to get out of there. And he, I think he realized that certainly we could start from A to B. In terms of doing being easy to do business with, I don't think it's ever been anybody easier. I just couldn't put up with the way he was, you know, that he was insisting on changing my entire character after being a world champion for the NWA for 10 times, you know, 10 times. I didn't get it, and it cracked me. It literally cracked me.
So, but we'll come back to the belt.
No, I flew up to him. I flew up, had dinner with him, and we went to the office, and he said, you know, I don't do guarantees, but I'll make you more than you made last year. And he asked me what I made, and I ended up making 130 more.
Just, you know, obviously the perception of the business is like an old song. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And it certainly had that. And I'm sure part of you wondered, hey, can I really do this? Did you have any of those self-confidence issues that we've heard about would that New York
offer? No. The minute I got off the plane there, no. But the self-confidence was driven by the management.
Right.
All those guys up there at that time were Piper, DiBiase, Hacksaw. I mean, all friends of mine for years, Hogan, who I didn't know that well at that time, but I certainly had been around him a lot, and we'd had fun. Randy, I'll bring Randy to business. A lot of people don't realize that Randy came to Charlotte, weighed 170 pounds. He had just got through playing minor league baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I helped break Randy in, basically. I mean, he and Lanny were living together, and you know, I thought Randy was a great kid. I like Lanny, and you know, we hung out together, and I've always had a lot of respect for Randy, but I know there was no discussion, and if people will debate this till I die. Nobody ever promised me a Hulk Hogan Ric Flair match at WrestleMania.
Right.
And I didn't ask for it.
I definitely want to talk about that, but I want to know a little bit about just the financial piece. These days, a lot of folks of your stature would operate with an agent. And I think that maybe the first person to use a quote unquote agent was Lex Luger, or at least that's the narrative in pro wrestling lore. Did you have an agent at that time or no?
Actually, the first, I'll give you a little trivia, was Ventura.
Okay.
With Barry Bloom.
Got it.
Then Steamboat with Barry Bloom. I didn't have an agent. I just had a lawyer, you know, who double-crossed me, who double-crossed me when they sold the Turner, because my lawyer in Charlotte, Crockett hired, and when it came to the merger and the selling, then I was the last one to know, because they wouldn't have bought the company, as we've talked about, without me. And if you don't believe that, find Blair Schnittfeller, wherever he is. He negotiated the purchase, and he told me later on, well, you should ask for a lot more money than you got. I said, why that? Because we wouldn't have bought it without you.
Oh, man. That's not what you want to hear.
No, it certainly wasn't. And that caused a big rift with me and Dusty and Jimmy. That, you know, they always work. It always works. These things always seem to work out, but with Jimmy, it just didn't work out ever. I didn't talk to Jimmy for 20 years. I finally spoke with him the week before he died, but it wasn't so much me. I couldn't imagine being that close to someone for so long and then them not, you know, letting me be aware of the consequences.
Circumstance,
And not wish for me to have the best possible deal.
Right.
That's what I couldn't understand. And then ultimately, you know, a lot of people don't know this. After I made the verbal agreement with Vince, shook his hand, Jack Petrick and Herd and those guys took me and my lawyer to lunch at the Ritz, the hotel, in Atlanta. You've been there, Conrad. And they offered me $3 million for 2 years. And I turned it down because at this time I couldn't let it sell.
It's amazing to think about. What if? And we actually talked about that in depth.
I can prove that statement. Ask Dennis Guthrie.
Oh, no. Mr. Hurd copped to it. Like, we discussed it in our conversations with Conrad thing. And I think that was his first interview in the wrestling space in decades.
I could have gone from 500 to 1.5 million to sign it. But my lawyer looked at me and said, the minute I heard ditch on paper, it'll just make you miserable anyway.
Yeah.
So there again. You know, that was just the way it went. So I kept my word to Vince, which, you know, I feel good about. I left a lot of money on the table, but more than that, I left my friends behind. That was hard, but like I said, I was lucky to have friends everywhere.
So one of the things that I don't think a lot of folks realize, and even myself didn't know this until a few years ago, you were technically under contract with WCW until September 1st, but that means you couldn't appear at SummerSlam 91 at the Garden, but we do see the big gold belt. It becomes a part of a backstage skit where Bobby the Brain Heenan is going to go knock on Hulk Hogan's door. He's got the big gold belt in hand. So the belt actually arrives to the company before you're on TV, right?
Well, I had FedEx it overnight.
I love it.
He said, prove it to me. I said, I'll FedEx it right now.
The first promo that aired with Bobby the Brain Heenan was on Superstars of Wrestling on August 10th, 1991. And so here we are, even in advance of SummerSlam, and Bobby Heenan is saying that this belt represents the real world's champion. Never says your name, as far as I know, but he certainly teases over and over and over that something big is coming. And boy, that got wrestling fans talking. What'd you think of that creative, the real world's champion using the belt?
Well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Because when they said hands off, I actually just went in. I kind of went into seclusion for a month.
Right.
Everybody just told me to lay low, and I did. So I didn't have anything to do with the creative. But I certainly didn't mind. I didn't mind it when it happened. You know.
So, at what point does he bring? Go ahead.
At what point does Vince
put it on your radar that hey, I want you to be with Bobby Heenan? Because although you had been with JJ before, it certainly felt, and they tried it with Hiro Matsuda, and it certainly had some valets, but a lot of times in wrestling, the folks who wind up with quote-unquote managers are guys who need a mouthpiece, guys who maybe aren't that strong of a promo. That was not the rap on you, but Bobby Heenan is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Did you like that idea? What'd you think?
I did, and we've been friends for years. I broke in with Bobby, and which, by the way, September 24th, is 50 years, and Conrad, and the party I'm having here in Tampa is, I'm going to be off the hook. I'm sending a private jet for you and my daughter. Oh, yeah. 50 years, Louis.
I'll be there. Can't wait.
September 24th, 50 years.
Where's the time go?
Yeah, and my first match was December 10th. So my first day out that training camp was September 25th. I spoke with Brunzel and Patera and Greg Guyton, and we all arrived at that date. So
fantastic. Well, if we're talking about 50 years of quality, it makes me think about Rec-Tac. It's time to talk about Rec-Tac, an amazing company that offers wood pellet grilled fuel by all natural hardwood pellets. They've got all your other outdoor lifestyle products like coolers, apparel, and grill accessories and more. But with grills ranging from $3.99 up, Rec-Tac has grills for every lifestyle and every budget, with a key focus on flavor, convenience, and versatility. Their factory direct pricing eliminates the middleman, and all grills ship for free. Plus, the Rec-Tac pellet grills are made from high-quality stainless steel, and they're built to last a lifetime, just like the Nature Boy. Rec-Tac's flagship model, the RT700, comes with a 40-pound pellet hopper. It's got 702 square inches of cooking space, the PID Wi-Fi controller, and a 6-year bumper-to-bumper warranty. You can bake, smoke, sear, grill, even dehydrate on the grill, all with the push of a button. That's why those in the know choose Rec-Tac. So it's time to toss aside that tasteless gas grill. Get rid of that messy charcoal grill, or even that overhyped brand name grill. Toss that to the side and join an elite wood pellet grilling family. By focusing on flavor, convenience, and versatility, Rec-Tac sets the new standard in grilling. So visit Rec-Tac.com. That's R-E-C-T-E-Q. And use the promo code NatureBoy5 to get 5% off site-wide. That's 5% off their top-notch wood pellet grills, their one-of-a-kind Rec-Tac Icer coolers, their chef-tested rubs and sauces, the accessories, the merch. Everything's 5% off at Rec-Tac.com when you use the promo code NatureBoy5. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, where you are in terms of your contract. It's reported in The Observer you're still negotiating with WCW. They're bringing deals back. You're even booked for a Resi convention that's held the day before SummerSlam. So there's tons of rumor and innuendo. You're going to be at SummerSlam. But as we said, instead, Bobby Heenan challenges Hulk on your behalf outside of his locker room. Did you actually stop by the building? Did you go to SummerSlam 91 just to say hi to the guys or whatever?
No. No, I never got there till I can't remember. It was Dayton TV. It was my first night there. And I met Sherry Martel at the hotel, and we stayed out, drank all night. And I was 5 minutes late for TV my first day. And my first day at TV, he called me aside and said, that $500. This isn't WCW. You're on time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's it. New day.
So there's so much build and hype as wrestling fans at the time. Man, what's going to happen with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair? When do you actually get to talk to Hulk? And is any of that discussed? I know you're going to work a series of house shows. I'm not talking about WrestleMania, but just it does feel like a dream match. And now you're both in the same promotion. Do you get any leisure time with Hulk where y'all can talk about what that might look like?
No, what happened was I went down to make interviews, and we called Hulk on the phone. And he said, "You're finally here, huh?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I started making interviews for whatever we were doing next with Vince and Kevin and the whole cast of characters there. So it was a great time in my life. I was away from Herd, who had completely driven me crazy. I mean, the whole booking committee thing is just a bunch of shit. I mean, even with Eric, I cannot emphasize enough to you. So it's me, going back to Eric, just change the subject for a minute. It's me, Greg Gagne, Mike Graham, Bill Dundee. Still can't figure out how that worked out, but Jim Cornette for a while. I mean, but ultimately anything that ever came out of there, it was a committee, but anything that came out of there was my fault. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just because of who I supposedly was supposed to be in the business that way, but God, it was extremely stressful hours after. And then you got nothing. And then Herbert looked at it and said, that's no good. Like he knew something about wrestling, right? We didn't even need to repeat ourselves on that, but it was the same thing with Eric. You know, we worked on it, and then all of a sudden would just be, sometimes we would just say something and come up with some ideas just out of frustration. I mean,
right.
You know, the biggest problem that I had with Eric was that all the talent, like all with Eddie Guerrero and all those guys, right? This is very similar with her. He wanted to put together his own team, and all these young guys like Chris Jericho and Eddie and all these guys were just getting pushed aside because when Hogan came with Eric, he brought in all his friends, which is not a bad deal for those guys, and I'm happy to see a lot of them there. But it came at the expense of other guys who'd already been there, younger guys just being pushed completely off to the side. And then, of course, you get the heat for that.
So, Rick, let's talk about heat, because there's a fair amount of heat going around New York. Of course, famously, the Ultimate Warrior, as wrestling lore has it, held up Vince McMahon for more money. He wanted a Hogan-like contract. And as soon as he comes out of the ring, he's promptly fired. You don't get a ton of time to work with him here in the beginnings of your run. Of course, we know he's going to be brought back at WrestleMania 8 the following year. But what was the rap you were hearing about the Ultimate Warrior in the WWF?
You know, funny and nothing. I wasn't privileged at all about that. I mean, I knew about later on, but I mean, here's the deal. You hold up the company, then you sue him, which he did. Then you end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what I think. it's the way the company operated, right? There's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that just are there I can't figure out what any rhyme or reason why they would be, other than it's a political, something's gone away politically, and they're always wanting to heal damaged situations, which I admire them for. But it certainly doesn't mean that someone needs to be in the Hall of Fame. To me, that should be based on skill, ability, and what you've done in the business.
So the day before your contract expires with WCW, they have a segment of the funeral bar where the two guests are Bobby Heenan and Roddy Piper. Piper gets really animated, spits on the title, throws it down, grabs Heenan to let him know he can't wait to see you again. And it does feel like with Savage coming back after SummerSlam 91, because they had the whole snake attack him and Miss Elizabeth at the wedding reception, and Hogan and Piper, you've got a list of really great opponents.
Oh, absolutely.
Folks that you hadn't faced in a long time. That had to feel like a new challenge for you. Not to disparage anyone, but it's not just Sting and Lex Luger on repeat. There's a whole new crop of opponents here, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was a tremendous time of life for me. Plus, I got to wrestle with Brett a fair amount, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And how nice was that of Brett to come to the last match, huh?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He even came over to Kid Rock's to have a beer with me. My God. Brett,
wouldn't
love you.
That. So, let's talk about what Dave Meltzer had to say about all this from The Observer. Ric Flair officially signed Thursday with Titan Sports. Flair will no longer be using the Nature Boy nickname, instead, using his gimmick of the champ. The contract, believed to be a two-year deal, had no financial guarantees other than the standard guarantees of income from television appearances. There were some noises about a final attempt made by World Championship Wrestling to sign Flair to an offer, quote-unquote, so lucrative he couldn't refuse, with him to come back as a babyface and oppose Lex Luger and have a hand in the booking but not be the booker. However, no meeting between the two sides was ever finalized. We know there was a meeting, but no deal was finalized. But I do want to ask about this, because it does feel like I saw a couple of robes in the WWF run where it didn't say Nature Boy on the back, it said Ric Flair. Did Vince not like the Nature Boy name or concept?
No.
He just wanted to brand Ric Flair?
No, not at all. Oh, yeah, that I'm not even sure where that came up. He liked Nature Boy. I just did Olivia, just changed him around periodically.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like Charlotte on one, Charlotte Flair on the other. I mean, you know, just to change it up. But, no, he I'm one of the two people that he didn't mess with my name at all. I didn't change my character. He just made it clear, 80 heels don't draw. That kiss stealing wheeling dealer shit doesn't work. Well, it's selling, we're selling marijuana like crazy today. And you can get your woo chews too.
Ric Flair drip coming to 11 states. The press release went live this morning. Got all the details there for you. I'm sure it's all over our social by now, so be sure to check it out. I want to mention the first time we get to see you on TV is a special episode of Primetime Wrestling. It airs on September 9th. So at this point, you've been under contract for 8 days, and this is your television debut. You're there in the black and white butterfly robe on the Primetime Wrestling set with Bobby the Brain Heenan. Before you go out in front of that audience, is there any nervousness or anxiousness? I mean, obviously you've been in all the big stages, but this is the first time on WWF TV. Take us through that day.
Just a regular day. I was so comfortable with myself. It just took one day to come out of that. I mean, the minute I got off that plane, I knew where I was. I hadn't lost confidence in myself as a person. I lost confidence myself because it was just pounded into me through Herd and you know that I was just too old and number one and then I, there was a we need to turn Flair Bayfay, he was too old and I don't know and this is literally going on. After I, at the age of 42, had three of the best matches of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that are on tape, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just 1 year later. It's just Jim Herd. It's kind of like he refused to do the face-off. What's he going to do? Tell somebody to go up and close it? Did they tie a restaurant? I did. But I ran around the Omni having fun? I did. Yeah. what's he gonna do? That's a line some bitch.
So talk to me a little bit about this debut on Primetime Wrestling. Obviously wrestling fans are all abuzz. We knew it was coming, but it's another thing to see you there in your row, cutting a promo on WWF TV. Did you feel like you were a bigger star because of this WWF run? I mean, certainly you were a big star on TBS.
Just like that. Yeah, but I found out that I wasn't as big a star as I thought I was because TBS at that time didn't have nearly the saturation, or that's the word you're looking for, that network TV did, right? So, and once again, I know people, they don't like to hear me say this, that are my fans and are, you know, support me. But I was never as big a star in the WWE as if people give me credit for. I just wasn't because I had only been on network TV for that year with them prior to, then the cable, of course, got bigger. But even to this day, you know, the network has got a bigger audience, just like Fox does than USA. And back then it was really a major difference back in 1991. So yes, we sold out of a lot of arenas, but there were some we didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. At the end of that first interview, you know, your first appearance on WWF TV, what's Bobby's reaction to it? What's Vince's reaction to it? Is everybody happy? Do they feel like we have something special, or is it just another day at the office?
Well, I think there's something special, but I think there was a lot of underlying stuff going on back then. That was a troublesome time for the WWE for a number of reasons, but I was just walking into. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that because the Zahorian thing is starting to bubble up.
Oh, all this stuff. And I just meet these guys as I'm walking in the door, including him. I had no idea who he was.
Right. I wonder, you know, we've heard the story that that's one of the reasons that Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon, for that matter, were so enamored with the idea of Kevin Nash coming over, because this is very much the steroid era. Everyone's paying attention. It feels like there's a big magnifying glass of what we're doing. So here's this big guy who's just naturally a big guy, and they could get excited about that. I wonder if that was part of their plan with you too, because you were a giant like Andre or the Ultimate Warrior or Hogan, but you did present, you know, a main event opportunity without being 6'5". Does that make sense?
Yeah. Repeat what you said. To start that sentence again, or you broke up for me.
I'm just curious about Zahorian and all the drama that all of that brought. If Vince felt like bringing you in as a top guy was a step in the right direction, because you were not necessarily, you know, the biggest bodybuilder in the ring.
I never thought of it like that. That could be a reason. I hope, like to think it's because I had the ability, but I don't know.
Of course. No, of course.
But what would you say about Nashville? You said nothing about Nash.
Well, I just know that that was one of the things that they were excited about is here's a guy who is a 7-footer, who's a big guy and natural time. And that represented a departure from, you know, the, as Ultimate Warrior was often referred to by Dave Meltzer, the anabolic warrior. Well, Kevin Nash didn't present that way. If that makes sense.
No, Kevin Nash, not at all. Kevin's just a big guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Kevin Nash played Division I basketball, Tennessee. It's a fucking hell of an act. I mean, you know, he had knee issues, but that's just wear and tear on a 7-foot guy that, you know, I think at times Kevin's weighed 300 pounds, but Kevin's just an avid trainer and a big guy. I never thought of Kevin Nash as being associated with steroids at all. Ultimate Warrior, obviously. I mean, the list of, I don't even need to mention the names. You know who they are.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we all do.
And that's not even my, that's not even my stuff I like to comment on. But I mean, you know, that was a way of life, not just in wrestling. It was a way of life in sports, period. Everybody was looking for the advantage. And for us, I don't look at it so much as it enhanced anybody's skill. It just gave everybody an edge in their appearance. And I've never looked good. So, I mean, I was average at best, but I feel like I had a lot of skill and I could talk.
So everybody's buzzing these days about Wu Wing. I can't believe this is a real thing, Rick, but you've got your very own virtual restaurant concept. It's now open where fans can enjoy the legendary flavors of world championship wings by ordering on Uber Eats or Postmates. Wu Wings is now open in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, many more locations coming soon. And as a virtual restaurant, Wu Wings is looking to partner with existing restaurants in major metro areas. So tell your favorite sports bar or local restaurant you want Wu Wings in your town, or visit RicFlairWings.com. That's RicFlairWings.com. But if you're in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, fire up Uber Eats or the Postmates app and look for Wu Wings. Try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time world heavyweight champion, Wu Wings.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Let's talk about your first television taping. I can't believe this is real, but boy, they loaded it up for you, man. You've got an interaction with Roddy Piper, Randy Savage, and Vince McMahon. And I think this might be the first instance Vince is physically involved. He gets hit with a chair and even stretchered out. That is a vote of confidence for him to put himself in an angle and have the physicality like this. And I think you might be the first person he did that for. How cool is that?
It's very cool. I mean, I just feel like he just gave me, certainly they gave me every opportunity in the world to get over and gave me top talent to work with. And not only that, you know, Roddy is one of my best friends. I feel like Randy and I always had a nice relationship. Hogan and I are good friends to this day. It was a tremendous time of life for me.
So Rick, let's do some questions. We got tons of questions about this. I want to remind everybody, the topic that we're doing today was voted on by you guys. You can do that right now over on social. If you want to vote on what we're talking about next week or the week after, we're going back to polls. We're throwing you the keys. We want to talk about what you want to talk about. So find us at To Be The Man Pod on Twitter and let your voice be heard. Let's jump into it. Flair fan wants to know, was there ever any consideration with Vince about changing your character before the vignettes, or was it always his idea to present you as the real world champion?
Always his idea to present me as the real world champion. His or Pat, I assume.
Dan wants to know, do you think if you had left the WWE in 1986, would it have been you and Hogan at WrestleMania 3 instead of Hogan and Andre?
God, that'd be a tough call. I'd like to say yes, but I don't know about that. Michigan, here's the only reason it might have been is because the saturation with TBS in Michigan, Pennsylvania, that was in Ohio is huge. But that'd be the only reason. I don't think it ever have considered being the same class as Andre, though.
What's crazy to think about to me, Rick, is if you would have made the jump for SummerSlam 88, like Bruce thinks maybe there was a chance for, instead of it being Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5 and the mega powers exploding, WrestleMania 5 could have been Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. That mm-hmm. would have been bananas. It would have changed a lot of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. I definitely could believe it possible. Because I do think that, that he did tell me that if I would come at SummerSlam, I'd go. Does that make sense? I wouldn't just come in there to do the favor. That I am sure of.
Jeremy People says, do you still have the Vegas Big Gold after the WWF run? It was used in WCW once. Let me explain to everybody listening what the Vegas Big Gold is. As we've established, once upon a time, Rick took the NWA world title that we commonly refer to as the Big Gold Belt on TV. That caused all kinds of lawsuits and injunctions. Eventually, the WWF decided to err on the side of caution, so they started to blur the belt out. And then just to make sure they were okay, they commissioned a tag belt to be modified to say world champion on it. And then we would still blur the belt out. Now that was all happening while Reggie Parks was making a belt that looks just like the Big Gold as far as the shape and size and color and all that stuff. And then by the time it gets there, well, soon after Rick is the actual world champion and we don't need it anymore. But you did hang on to that belt, and I think used it once in WCW, but I believe the rumor is you wound up gifting it to Hunter years later, right?
The NWA belt? I gifted that to him, yes, with a note that said, I wish I could have dropped this to you in 1986.
Yeah.
Which, to my knowledge, he has, hanging over his fireplace somewhere in his home.
Yeah.
That's what I was told. So
I've heard the saying that it's hung in his office, his home office, so.
In his office is
the 10 pounds
NWA belt.
Yeah,
which I sold to them. Which, as I've said before, I wish they'd sell back to me, but I guess that's not gonna happen.
Me too. Dragon Sleeper Johnny wants to know: Bobby Heenan is one of the best managers ever. Where would you rank him?
Bobby Heenan.
Yep. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Always. I can't think of anybody even close. There's been a lot of really good managers, but Bobby Heenan, number one, when Bobby Heenan wanted to, he at that point, at that time in his career, would have been one of the top 15 guys that could work. I mean, his skill in the ring was unbelievable. He didn't have to wrestle long matches, but had Bobby just wanted to be a wrestler, He could have. He was great.
RCS 88 writes, did you get a chance to interact with Ricky Steamboat when he arrived in 91? And did you ever discuss with him the possibility of working a match in the WWF? That would have been interesting. Just recreate what you guys have done.
He was leaving and I was coming.
I'll say.
We crossed paths in the same way. Same with Iron Tully.
Yeah. Adam Michaels wants to know, who are the wrestlers you looked forward to the most to wrestle when you got to the WWF? Piper, oh God, Savage, DiBiase.
Yeah, Piper, Savage. I never got to wrestle Teddy there, but I think against him one time, maybe in a Survivor Series. But I had so many friends there. Terry Taylor was there. DiBiase was there, traveling with those guys. I'm wrestling Hot Rod, traveling with Hot Rod. And then I'm teaming with Sid against Hot Rod and Hulk. I mean, we were just sold out everywhere. It was insanity. And of course, anytime I got to work with Hulk, was just, I mean, it was sold out. I don't think we ever had one building that didn't sell out. If we did, it would have been the Garden. But from Chicago, back and forth, neighbor, across the country, we sold out.
Dave McClay says, when you first arrived to the WWF, did you realize right away that Vince might be the best wrestling promoter you'd ever worked for?
Absolutely. I didn't even have to think twice. My God, it's such a professional organization as it remains today. It just, you hear these, they're like, there's always been, can be something. Someone's always going to have something negative to say about somebody. That's just life. But I just can't think of anything negative to say about the WWE as a promotion. As a promotional overall, I haven't always liked the decisions they've made, but it doesn't stop you from respecting who they are. They're just, there's a reason why they're the best.
Steve Brown wants to know, what was Bobby Heenan like away from the cameras?
But funnier than he was on. He was fapping. I wish I could tell you.
Drew Landry Go ahead.
No. Did you ask Diamond Dallas Page to do a last match? It's sarcastic.
Oh, my gosh. I don't.
Where are all these rumors coming from?
I don't know how, so here's the thing. I did ask him the day before. He said, hey, man, I need a surprise. Would you hit somebody with a diamond cutter? And so we talked about the creative. And in wrestling, a lot of times people always want to know, well, hey, where is this going, right? And so I said, hey, I don't know that we're going to necessarily start something we pay off unless you want to do a last match one day, and laughed. And now it becomes, I made a big pitch. And I heard through the grapevine that Booker T did an interview saying that I asked him to do a last match. I haven't spoken to Booker in forever, but he's a great guy. And I thank the world of him and DDP. But no, I don't have any last match plans. I kind of had my last match the same day you did yours.
Yeah. I didn't think so, but it just, social media, man, it's unbelievable. everybody wants to be part of it. And the ones that work, wish they had, bro.
Well, that's a fact. Drew Landry says, we all know why you left the WWF or WCW and NWA. When you came into the WWF, it appeared as though you were a top guy paired with Hogan. Was that part of a conversation to bring you in, or did the pairing even matter in your mind?
It didn't matter in my life at all.
Brad Stanton says, did you think going to the WWE was a goal for you? Meaning, was that perceived in your mind's eyes being an upgrade from where you had been?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? From being booked by Jim Herd and Ole Anderson to going and working with Pat and Vince and Kevin Dunn, are you kidding me? Good Lord. Where people will say that I was ahead of my time, and I really believe I was. I mean, because what I'm doing, even what I did back then has made me more famous today than it made me back then, right?
Yeah.
The clothes, everything, the jewelry, whatever it is, the drip. That's where they were in terms of their status. They were just fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just so far ahead of their time. and not afraid to go out and gamble and risk and push forward. That's been I think the part of the anatomy of the company that all comes from Vince.
Sean Daniels wants to know, do you think people in the audience at the primetime taping were legitimately surprised to see you? What was that like? So your first appearance on a WWF set, it had been teased, but a lot of people wondered, where is this leading? Do you think folks were shocked to see you, or was the cat kind of out of the bag?
I think the cat was kind of out of the bag. I know that I felt very comfortable about it. I just, you know, back then I loved going to work, and I couldn't wait for the after party. And that year I had up there, all over long it was, between the European trips and America. I mean, that rivaled my time in the 80s with the Four Horsemen. I had so damn much fun.
That brings up a great question from Ben Ledbetter. He says, can you take us inside of your time booking for WCW and how much it was a relief to just be able to concentrate on you and your in-ring performance? That had to be a big difference, right, Rick? No more politics, just you being you.
Just me being me. Yeah, and like I say, the booking is... I just got the heat.
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you. I mean, if you actually think that I volunteered to put Hulk over five times, retire, supposed to be off a year with pay for a year, to come back a month later and be dressed up and come out of the audience and attacks. I mean, if you actually think that that was me booking that, you're out of your goddamn mind. I never got paid. I never got to. And then I put Savage over five times.
Yeah.
Because the other guy, they wouldn't work with the other guys.
Right.
They didn't want to work with Vader. They didn't want to work with Rude. That left me over and over again. If anybody thinks I actually booked that, they've got to be really high. And I'll have some products available today to get them even higher.
Yes, we do. Ray Flair,
yeah. They're available right now. But if they really sit down to think about that, do you think I booked me and Arn Anderson to get beat together by Vader?
No.
In Daytona Beach?
No.
A guy that I beat for the world title a year before by myself?
Yeah.
Now think about that.
No, of course not.
Vader, what? That's all Eric Bischoff, guys.
Yeah.
He just couldn't stand me and R. Do people even remember that Vader beat me and R together?
In a handicap match, yeah.
In a handicap match?
Yeah.
You think Arn and I were happy about that?
I can't imagine so.
Do you think I booked it?
No.
Thank you.
I do not.
Please.
We'll do two more from our old pal Lenny Bakken.
I hope this makes the news. If they really think I booked me to get beat by Hulk five fucking times in a row and then retire at Halloween Havoc with guaranteed pay for a year off, come back a month later dressed up like a woman and jump out of the crowd.
No.
That's just what Ric Flair wanted to do. He wanted to be buried in the theater. He wanted to spend time in the insane asylum. He wanted to get his head shaved. That's just what Ric Flair wanted to do after being the world champion, wrestling Harley Race, Terry Funk, Dory Funk, Jack Briscoe. That's just what I had in mind for myself.
Well, I'm hoping something you have in mind for yourself, since it got so viral last week, is that you're keeping your old ass hydrated. Are you drinking water, Rick? Can we approve of the fact that you're drinking water?
Yeah.
That you're hydrating?
And let's just touch on the subject here. This is so absurd. I've gotten so much for admitting that I got dehydrated. Here's the deal. We had all these people talking about having these matches at 73. The point that I made is that I came back. No one is ever going to have a match at 73 that's been through what I've been through.
Right.
From airplane crashes to C5 and C6 being cracked in my neck to almost dying and being life support. That's what I came back to prove.
Yes.
That I could do something that nobody else could ever do.
Yes.
So when people start saying, well, there's these people that could have this match, there are 51 that could do it. Bullshit. I call bullshit to all of them. No one that's been through what I've been through physically could do what I did. And if I made a mistake and didn't drink enough water, yes, I'm drinking lots of water now. But I've drinking it with beer.
Some things never change.
No, I'm just saying that they're trying to, but what comparison are you drawing? There is no comparison.
I agree.
Some of these guys that want to have their last match never had a first good match.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm just talking about one person I saw. No one. Yet.
I love you for that.
Nobody we mentioned, but
I saw the picture too, and it got sent to me a lot, and I think we all had a chuckle. Lenny Bucker wants to know, did Rick get to go to Vince's house for any of the contract discussions? That's kind of a famous thing we hear about Rick. Did you ever go to Vince's estate?
Yeah, I did.
What was that like?
Absolutely. Unbelievable. They still have it. They're right there in
Greenwich, right?
Yeah, Greenwich, yeah. I believe they still have the home. It's absolutely beautiful. I think at that time they lived next door to Yvonne Lindell.
Oh, really?
But it's in a state. It was beautiful, and of course he had this phenomenal gym. Was what probably his pride and joy in the whole first thing he showed me. But it was just beautiful. And Stephanie was there that day, and I remember I was so nervous. We were eating tuna fish and shrimp. I mean, something just a little healthy food, right? And I got what do you call that when you start joking on the tuna fish?
That's
the reef
or something like that.
Yeah,
ask
the reef. Yeah, I went to the bathroom. He must have thought there was something wrong with me. I was choking at it, and it. I hadn't eaten quite that healthy in quite a while. and we were drinking Diet Coke. There was no beer.
One last one from Lenny Bakken. He wants to know, did Rick feel like any of the other wrestlers were threatened when he joined the company? That's a fair question, because we hear a lot of times guys fret about, I don't want to lose my spot. Did you experience any of that with this new locker room?
No. I did. I don't know. I didn't think about that back then. If I did, I wouldn't have worried. But I just wanted to have fun.
Well, we had,
and I hope that. I mean, I still talk to Terry Taylor and DiBiase. You know, guys, we had more fun than anybody should be allowed to have. It was just like with being Tully and Iron and the Horsemen. I mean, we worked hard and we had fun. We laughed. If you can't laugh, I mean, my dad told me that a long time ago. If you can find something to laugh about every day. It's kind of like the Jimmy B thing, but I'll just use the word laugh.
Yeah.
Find something to laugh about every day, that chances are you're going to live a lot longer. God knows, I can't take myself serious anymore at 73.
Now let's have some fun. And lots of people are going to be having fun with Ric Flair drip. Check it out. The press release is out there. Everybody
knows
all about it. It's going to be in 11 states coming your way. We'll have all the information. I'm sure you're going to continue to hear a lot about it here on To Be The Man. Next week, we're going to be doing something else that you guys wanted to hear based on our poll. We're going to be talking about the time that Rick lost a Loser Leaves Town match to Mr. Perfect on Monday Night Raw. So we essentially talked about the jump from WCW into the WWF. And now next week, we'll talk about the jump leaving the WWF, going back to WCW, and how maybe somebody wasn't sure there was any value in the H. I can't believe that.
That's even a better story than when I left.
It's an unbelievable story. Can't wait to talk about it next week. And thank you guys for putting up with us this week. As you can tell, I'm in a different location. I'm not at the Con Radisson, but you guys humored us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Conrad and Megan are on location.
Yes.
Next to the 10,000 square foot home they're building beach. Not to mention their lake home, which they're expanding on, which is 200 miles to the west.
Oh, my God.
The Conradison, 180 miles to the east.
Oh, God.
This rental property is 19,000 square feet they're in right now, with 6 miles of beach, waiting for a 64-foot Sea Ray to pull up.
Now, if the Sea Ray pulls up, there'll be somebody in the back yelling woo. I know that.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
I want to thank Chad Bronstein.
Yes.
the guy that brought me into this, and Verano and everybody so much for believing in me and giving me the opportunity. And the same would go to you, Conrad. I want to thank you, Stephen K. Thuzio, all the people that, you know, Steve Coughlin is with us right now, Dave.
We got all the team, man. It's so cool.
Mike Gugger.
Yeah.
No, that made that weekend happen. And people can say whatever they want to say about it. I dare somebody to have a bigger weekend and a bigger time and to celebrate life bigger than we did.
Thank you.
As a family, and make a point that no one's going to duplicate.
No.
No one. Trust me.
Can't be done.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week right here. Welcome to the band.
Woo!
If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool? What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. SaveWithConrad.com.